Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But Deshaun, before we get out of here, I do want to look at the upcoming schedule for the Hawks as things don't get any easier for Atlanta.
They don't.
You think about, you started off the week in Philly playing the Sixers, who's, whether you like it or not, they're going to be a top Eastern Conference team. You then go face former champs, Milwaukee Bucks. You take them down. Then you go face the Boston Celtics at home. Now you got to go out on the road and you're still at home. Sorry. But at home to the Raptors. And then next week is the road trip when you've got to go to Cleveland. So it's like there are no breaks for the Hawks in their schedule right now.
It almost sounds like a Michigan State schedule almost at this point.
Don't start bringing your college basketball in here, Deshaun.
I'm not gonna get on that rant, but I'm not sure whoever put the. I think Tom Izzo might have put this schedule together.
Okay.
For the Hawks, by the way, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Let me say this much, but there are also so much meaningful games, things that the Atlanta Hawks, I think, collectively as a unit are thinking about with this schedule. You don't think they don't remember a couple weeks ago where they went up to Air Canada and played Toronto on their home floor and what that looked like, what Pascal Siakam did to them? That's something that they're going to keep in the back of their mind. That's payback. That's James Brown, the big payback right there, okay? And then while we're sitting here talking about some of the best duos, you told me who's at the top of your list. I'm sure that they see and they know what's going on. We were talking about Steph Curry dropping 50 points. Garland dropped about 50 points the other night. They're seeing these exact same things. They get a chance to play those guys, and they know the love that everybody has been showing Cleveland. I tell people this all the time when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks, and I'm going to land my plane here. The Atlanta Hawks have to be the team that beats who they're supposed to beat, okay? Keep it or also beat the teams that are of equal quality to them, and then at least be competitive against the teams that are better than them, okay? They have, for the most part, beat the teams that they're better than, okay? The teams that are equal to them, I think we could be talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers in this situation, okay, who is still in a position where they're youthful. We know we can't talk about the Atlanta Hawks being youthful anymore. They've got a little bit of experience under their belt. They're not in the same conversation as some of these Cleveland Cavaliers slash, you know, Orlando Magics and Detroit Pistons. But Cleveland's on the younger side. They're still trying to figure some of these things out themselves. So they get a chance to play those games. Okay, so I think that these ones are very telling. That's going to be a heck of a game against Cleveland. I can't wait for that game, because that is one of the games where I think you're really going to learn a lot about who you are as a team on both sides and how you intend to compete, not just in the NBA, but more so in the East.
And that's what
I want a little Tate's take. I want some Tate's take, Caleb. I need 30 seconds of Tate's take.
All right, before we get there, Cleveland is so dangerous because they're young, like because they're playing up to this level in that youthful phase of their roster construction. And you look at, you know, like with what the Hawks have coming up, a very experienced Toronto team. That experience hurt them the last time the Hawks saw them. And then for the Cavs, yeah, they're youthful and they're scoring at will, it feels like. And they've also, I think, you've got some big men who are great defensively who are going to help them out as well. Like, there's so many different pieces. The thing that I wanted to get to, yes, we will get to a Tate's take. The thing that I wanted to get to, though, is can the Hawks afford to go 0-3? Like a loss to Boston, a loss to Toronto, and a loss to Cleveland coming back home to play Sacramento?
No, I don't think so. I mean, can they afford you? Okay, here's the deal. A four-game losing streak, you definitely cannot do. That is an absolute no-no for where this team is at and where they're looking to be. A three-game losing streak is something that I think if you're this early in the season still, Caleb, you can't afford that. I mean, you can afford that a little bit, but you don't want to treat it as if it's something that you can afford to do. You want to be in the conversation with some of the best in this league, some of the best in the East, competing, which they've been showing that they can do for the most part, against some of the Milwaukees and some of the, you know, other teams in this league that are at the top. You, those teams don't go on that many games of a losing streak. So that's where I really believe that, even though I think this early they can afford it, certainly not middle through the end of the season they can afford it. But if it happens now, I think it's okay. The sky's not falling. But you can't walk in there with that type of mentality to say, it's still early. We can afford it right now. Let's just make sure that we got it all together later.
Yeah, I think that's – it will truly show the difference between winning nine games to start the season to this point, and then how do you handle going up against – some of the best teams in your conference. And if the Hawks do happen to go on a losing streak, I think that shows that the deficiencies really, really, really need some attention. And that would be, you know, the shooting essentially wouldn't have been fixed, I think, if you're reaching that point. It's just one of those, it's obviously worst case scenario for how the Hawks are going to, you know, with their schedule the next coming week. But it is something I feel like is realistic with you play this poorly like you did against Boston, and you will end up in a situation where you're 0-3, because I don't know yet how the Hawks match up against the Cavaliers, and I know how they match up against the Raptors, which is not well, which doesn't bode well towards winning. And I just wonder, you go on a three-game losing streak, does the finger pointing come out and all of the other things that goes into, you know, things not going well like you want it to start the season? It's very early. I don't think nothing like this would define their season. But I think it's very realistic with having, you know, just played Boston, the coming schedule up and seeing Toronto, Cleveland, and Sacramento. Best case scenario feels like 2-1. Through Toronto, Cleveland, and Sacramento, where, you know, then you think of the opposite, and it's just, it's not a good place to go to. But I think it will get to the head of some of these problems for Atlanta. As like we said, you know, the schedule does not get easy for them in the next week. Obviously be able to talk after Toronto and Cleveland next Tuesday before they get through their holiday schedule. But, Deshaun, before we get out of here, you have a Tate's take that I feel like I know what it is, because I think we texted about it a little bit during the Celtics game. And I don't even know I'm giving you the floor for this, but go ahead.
Number one, I still can't believe we're talking about Sacramento being a tough game for Atlanta, but they've been playing some damn good ball.
Best team in California. Best team in California, Deshaun.
Stop, Caleb. Cut it
I'm
out.
I'm sorry. It's the truth.
The ultimate disrespect to all light skin. You know, I'm all about the light skin guys. All those light skin guys over there at Golden State. I'm LSU. Hashtag light skin united. Don't disrespect us like that, Caleb. Here's my Tate's take, okay? You ready for this, Caleb?
I don't know that I am, but go ahead.
You are. Listen. I'm watching the other night. I'm in Indianapolis for the Champions Classic, and I'm watching this Kansas and Duke matchup, okay? Kyle Filipowski, remember the name. When you watch Duke this year, Caleb, any of you guys out there that are watching, that are listening, Kyle Filipowski, true freshman, okay? Seven-footer, true seven-footer. He's not a Plumlee. He's not McRoberts. He's not Ryan Kelly. He's not any of the, he's not Matthew Hurt. I'm going to tell you who he is. Kyle Filipowski is the next hated white guy at Duke. Keep your eyes and your ears open for this guy. It's mostly because he's that good, but also because he's just that passionate and he's just that fiery. When you think of the J.J. Reddicks, the Christian Laettners, the Grayson Allens, and all of these guys that tend to get that title, he's going to be your next one, Kyle Filipowski. He's a really good player.
I will have to remember that name. I love to root against Duke as I don't even know how I became a Tar Heels fan, and that fandom kind of goes in and out, obviously, with how good they are just because of how much I watch college basketball. But you're right. It's been a while since Duke's had somebody to like truly hate. You talk about Grayson Allen when the Bucks were in town playing the Hawks. I was sitting like front row courtside as everybody was warming up. And one of the funny things was I had my foot kind of stuck out a little bit.
Yeah.
Just naturally the way I was sitting. And I saw a player or somebody out of my peripheral vision walking up. And so I quickly moved my foot back. And when I looked up, it was Grayson Allen. And I leaned over to Lauren, one of the Hawks reporters next to me. And I was like, should have left my foot out.
Yeah, had you known it was Grayson Allen.
Oh, man.
Of course you would. And that would have been nothing more, Caleb, than just a little taste of his own medicine from his college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm honestly, I'm excited because we haven't had that. I feel like, am I forgetting someone since Grayson Allen that Duke really hasn't had that guy to hate? But you're telling me that that's coming back now, which is good for college basketball. Which I obviously know is a passion of yours. I thought you were going to mention the leg sleeves. No?
Nah. We'll get into leg sleeves fine. On the next episode, episode 7.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's episode. We'll be back next Tuesday to bring you another full episode. Like we said, after this interesting stretch, a couple games for the Hawks, is hopefully they don't fall into a losing pattern and they can kind of get out of this. But for my co-host Deshaun Tate, I'm Caleb Johnson. You guys have a good one.